Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning in the DMV, and bring on to the show a draft expert who's going to give us some insight on what Washington's going to do at number 29. Arif Hassan joins us now. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes. We really appreciate it. We know you're busy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great, very buddy. Well. So what we were saying last hour is that Shedeur Sanders is kind of the pivot point right now. But it seems to be becoming increasingly obvious that he's going to fall a bunch. Is that how you see this, or do you think he still could go 3 or 9 or 21?
Yeah, I don't see him going around 3. I think there's an outside possibility that he goes 9. But certainly, a lot of people are pinging him to the Steelers at 21. That's been like a conversation over the past week. And I'm a little bit surprised. I see him as a better quarterback prospect than that. But I know that a lot of people, have been talking about the way the league has kind of interpreted him. And it doesn't have anything to do with the amount of attention he gets or Deion Sanders or anything like that. And they, in fact, like Shedeur a lot as a mature locker room leader and a hard worker. But it's just that there's not really a trump card for him. Like with Cam Ward, you have, this outstanding arm and a lot of physical ability, but with Shedeur, you don't have as much in terms of his athleticism, in terms of his arm, and he's not quite accurate enough to just be kind of that pocket passer that everyone loves. Now, I think that he's a really good quarterback. He deserves to be kind of a top 10 pick, and I could still see it, but it very much seems like the rest of the league doesn't see him the same way. Still kind of just a tier below Cam Ward, still a first-round guy, but closer to that 20s area, and certainly where he goes will kind of define the rest of the draft for a lot of people.
Wide left football, Arif Hassan. So to double-click on that, what's your reaction today to some of these betting markets who have him favored to go in round 2? Like, why is that happening?
Betting markets are usually very good at identifying, things where there's a lot of data and things where there's a lot of people betting. They're not really very good at this kind of specific, who's going to go where in the draft, who's going to run what in the 40. They're notoriously bad at identifying trade targets in free agency. That's not a big deal to me. I know that betting markets, for example, had Will Levis going top 10, right? Like these are just, people are just responding. There's reasons that there are like strict limits on how much you can bet on these draft props and stuff like that. To me, it's not that big a deal.
So Arif, if it's not Shedeur Sanders, where's kind of the flashpoint or the fork in the road in this draft here for you? If things go more chalky than maybe some like me are anticipating.
Yeah, I mean, it might even be as high as 5. I know that for the past couple of days, a lot of people have been talking about identifying Mason Graham to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which certainly a strong possibility that there's a good fit there. The team, it sounds like, does like him. But the more I'm hearing out of Jacksonville, the less it seems like they even want to pick there. They might want to trade down. And they're okay kind of losing a chance at grabbing Mason Graham if that happens, and that'll change everything if they trade out, right? So if you've got, maybe say the Jets trade up to get Armand Membo or even Kelvin Banks, it is possible that the rest of the draft looks completely different if you don't take that defensive tackle there. You could see, players like cornerback Will Johnson get pushed down, players that, you would expect to go a little bit higher kind of moving into different areas. I ran a simulation where exactly that thing happened, and we saw, luckily for Washington, we saw some edge rushers kind of fall down a little bit further than the draft than you'd expect. And so that kind of area at number 5 is, I think, pretty big. Where Ashton Jeanty goes is going to be big, so that there's a lot of steam right now that the Bears might be trading up into the top 10, one of the few teams that's been rumored to actually want to trade up instead of down. And my estimate is that that would be for someone like an Ashton Jeanty. And if they do that, that also alters the shape of the draft. But if they don't, then you've got some question marks like, is he going to go to the Raiders at 7 or what's going to happen there? So I think that's kind of where we start seeing the shape of the draft, kind of take form.
Who's the guy that's going to fall? I know that it's always such a subjective thing. I actually hate the term, just as a quick editorial, because like no one's been selected yet. You see what I'm saying? Like it's just based on prognostications, right? And a couple guys mock drafts, and they know a little bit more than we do. But who's somebody that folks think is going to go high that isn't in your mind?
To me, somebody like a Walter Nolan could be that kind of guy. I know that you know, earlier in the year he'd been projected as potentially top 10. I know that right now he's not necessarily projected top 10. But I think kind of the locker room-ish concerns about him, you know, he would quit practices when he's frustrated and leave. He had an opportunity to prove that that's not who he was at the Senior Bowl. He ended up leaving during practices then. He's not that great against the run. He's kind of a pure pass rusher, but his production wasn't really as high as you'd expect a pure pass rusher to be. And so he has all the athletic potential in the world, but you know, there are a lot of athletes without a ton of production that people like Shamar Stewart. But I think in order for that kind of player to succeed, you need to be really assured that the kind of player that you're getting is one that's going to work hard to kind of fix their problems. And so while everyone knows about, like, legitimate off-field problems for, say, Isaiah Bond and Mike Green, there's these smaller concerns that don't rise to the level of, say, criminality that still impact, you know, the way that people perceive these players just in terms of how much they can get out of them. So I think, you know, Walter Nolan could be that kind of guy. Certainly I think Matthew Golden might be that kind of guy because, you know, a lot of people like his combine. But my understanding is that teams, their hand timing at his combine wasn't as good as the 4.29. And so they may not see him the same way that a lot of other people do.
Arif Hassan on the NFL draft, which gets underway tomorrow. Grant and Danny here on The Fan from City Tap House in D.C. Take us through the edges and where you could see them landing in the first round. Washington very much wants one, it seems like, at 29. Who could be left for them?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably not going to see Jalen Walker there, although I could potentially see him falling because a lot of people don't know what his NFL position is going to be. You're probably not going to see Shamar Stewart. A lot of people have connected him to San Francisco. That'll be kind of interesting. And so from there, you're kind of asking, is Mykal Williams going to be there? Is Mike Green somebody that you're comfortable, you know, grabbing, given kind of all the information out there about him? Certainly, he's a very talented player. If you're comfortable, here's another player that you're concerned maybe about his practice habits, James Pierce. If you're comfortable with him, I know that Atlanta has been connected to him. So those are probably the guys that you're paying the most attention to. One of them could fall. Certainly Mykal Williams is a good example of somebody that might fall a little bit because I heard somebody throw out a Jermaine Johnson comp for him. I don't fully agree with that, but I get where they're coming from. It's a run-first kind of defender that doesn't have as much production as a pass rusher, but I think some of that's just what Georgia asked him to do, and I think that he could be you know, a pretty effective edge rusher. So that's somebody that you might want to identify, and if there are guys that, you know, might sneak into that first round, if Washington is taking a look at guys that, you know, on these big boards and mock drafts isn't necessarily always in the first round but could turn out to be one of the better players in the class, the Boston College edge rusher Donovan Isaraku, who is really, really talented, and super athletic. And I think, personally, I think that he should be a little bit higher up on a lot of these boards, but sometimes you don't even see him in the first round. And I think some of those are size concerns. But to me, I think he overcomes them because he's gone up against competition against these really long, big tackles, and he's still produced.
You mentioned if you're comfortable with .. with like Green and Pierce. What's mm-hmm. the baggage? Tell people about the backgrounds on those guys.
Yeah, for sure. I'll start with Pierce because that's just a little bit easier to discuss. But Pierce is just, you know, the book on him is that he's kind of just a bad teammate, you know, that, you know, just like with Walter Nolan, somebody that doesn't practice that hard, somebody that wasn't as serious about his development and his practice habits, somebody that didn't interact well in the locker room. Like, it's not just that, you know, he doesn't work as hard, but that he just didn't get, you know, the respect of his teammates just from the way that he's interacted with them and stuff like that. So that's somebody that, you know, you'll have to be convinced loves football. You have to be convinced is going to get along with his teammates and stuff like that. That's just kind of basic locker room stuff. Like, maybe football is just not for him, even though he's got, you know, the kind of build and body that you would hope that he'd be able to dedicate himself to football. With Mike Green, there have been a series of allegations, sexual assault allegations, once when he was in high school and then once when he was in college. He mentioned at the combine, and he did take these allegations on head on. He talked about it directly at the combine. I wonder, you know, whether or not, you know, his agent told him not to, but, you know, it sounds like some people were impressed with the way he handled it. Either way, he'd indicated that neither of those allegations had risen to the level of a criminal charge or a civil suit. And so, you know, his argument, of course, is that, you know, both of these instances, you know, never happened and that they're inflated circumstances. And this is just something where you'd be really comfortable as an NFL team with your investigative unit, because they all have private investigation units nowadays, to kind of see what happened. But they did rise to the level of a campus complaint. There's a lot of uncertainty with what happened at Virginia with with Mike Green and whether or not, you know, there was some kind of like at the time, a lot of people were convinced that maybe it was a false allegation. Now people are maybe not so sure that it was as false as people initially thought. So there's a lot of uncertainty with that one.
Arif Hasan with us here on G&D. Give me the position group where there might be some great value in the middle rounds. I mean, I think about this all the time, the scarcity of some of these elite guys. Like, if you're drafting Ashton Jeanty in the top 10, you know, would you be better off, I'm just sort of making this up, with Caleb Johnson in the third round or something to that effect, that sort of gap between those two guys? Is it worth selecting someone, you know, 50, 60, 70 picks earlier? Give me a spot that you think there's good value in the mid rounds here, Arif.
Yeah, I think the defensive tackle group, like once you get to the end of the third round, beginning of the fourth round, you're probably going to find some guys like a Shamar Turner, you know, Shamar Stewart's teammate over at Texas A&M, Joshua Farmer from Florida State, Omar Norman Lott from Tennessee. These are all SEC pass rushing, you know, defensive tackles that have done a really, really good job of, you know, producing in some ways that maybe a lot of people don't expect. Some of them don't have the athletic profile that you hope work in the NFL, but at some point, production kind of deserves a little bit of attention. And then at nose tackle, there are a lot of bodies there. Somebody like a Deion Walker, who is massive. He's like 6'7". He's like huge defensive tackle. Personally, I don't think that he loves football. I don't think that he adapts very well. I personally wouldn't draft him, but a lot of teams are in love with his size. But there are other nose tackles that are kind of interesting. And the complete opposite end is somebody like a C.J. West, who is barely 6 feet tall. So you've got this 6'7" nose tackle, the 6 foot tall nose tackle. C.J. West, I think, is a spark plug. He does a really, really good job of using his size and holding down the run. And then in between, you've got somebody like Jamari Caldwell, also at nose tackle. Ty Robinson, also a potential mid-rounder pass rushing tackle. Jordan Phillips from Maryland had a good showing in the All-Star Circuit defensive tackle. These are all guys I would expect to go in the third and fourth round, and that is a pretty deep group. As always, wide receiver, you can always find, you know, some pretty good talent depending on how good you are at evaluating. Some pretty good talent. People like Torrey Horton. There's some talk that Isaiah Bond might fall all the way down to the third, fourth rounds. Kyle Williams from Washington State's a guy I really like a lot, depending on how comfortable you are only having, you know, him in the slot or something like that. But yeah, the skill positions are areas where you always have some opportunities, but I think kind of uniquely the defensive tackle group in the middle rounds is something that you can get a lot of value out of.
Arif Hasan is with us looking ahead to tomorrow night's first round in the NFL draft. So based on how you see things falling, walk us through Washington's options, what you like and don't like for them at 29.
Yeah, I think grabbing the Boston College edge rusher, Donovan, I think would be a really good spot for him. But if we do end up in a scenario where because of trade downs and because, you know, people like these quarterbacks a lot, maybe somebody like a Jalen Milrow or Jackson Dart, you know, gets snuck in the first round, you'll see some of these positions that Washington does need a little bit more investment in, you know, fall a little bit, whether that's edge rusher or cornerback or whatever. I think that you could end up in a situation where if you're comfortable with the off-field for Mike Green, you'll end up with a really talented edge rusher. If you're comfortable with the practice habits for James Pierce, you'll end up with a really talented edge rusher. And maybe you don't want to answer those questions. Maybe you'll end up with Mikel Williams, who's been pretty productive in his kind of six technique spot. I think that those are all scenarios where you can be pretty happy so long as you answer a couple of questions with who you have. But at cornerback, I think depending on how comfortable your medical team is with, like, say, Savon Revell, who had an ACL tear last season, you know, I think he's a first-round guy. I know a lot of people have him in the second round, but I think that's primarily injury concerns. And so if you've cleared him from an injury perspective, I think, you know, he could be, you know, I know he's a small school guy from East Carolina, but he could be as big of an impact as Quinyon Mitchell was, another small school guy, was for Philadelphia. Right. And I think that you'll end up in a situation where you've got a really aggressive corner that's willing to defend against the run. And I think Washington could really use somebody like that. So I think those are all pretty good scenarios. In my latest kind of, I was playing around with the experiments and mock drafts. I did match Amike Buka with Washington. I know that wide receiver is not the top need, but I think it would be kind of a fun pairing with Scary Terry and Jane Daniels and just get that offense really going. You could go outside of the need profile and still grab a guy that's going to help the team out a lot.
Arif, great info, man. Really appreciate it. Good content as well, and enjoy the draft tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Arif Hasan, check him out, Wide Left Football on the NFL Draft.